I think it's time to go live. Could be a good day for another church prep. Drum roll. On a Wednesday, the hump day, we're getting there. Let's see if we can have a good time tonight. Yes, things are going on. Things are being turned on. Good. All right. Countdown's going down. We're, as usual, looking for a quick one. Okay, good. We're on. Let's roll that intro. As usual, trying to push buttons and figure out how to be the producer and the director and the guy behind the booth all at the same times. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm so glad you're with me on a hump day. Another one. We are live, of course. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Church Prep with MWD. It's Wednesday. Drum roll with Mark W. Douglas. Let's start things off with a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Happy Wednesday. Drum roll. A five-song concert is coming your way tonight. But first, it's time to introduce the Song of the Week's backstory. Let's recall the SOTW is titled, ooh, My Rock. We like that. My Rock. Let's see if I can get a backstory tonight. You ready for a backstory? My Rock. We got to look at those lyrics just a little bit more. You're my rock. Ooh, my shelter. You're the wind. After the rain, I think God is the rain too, right? He's the rain, the wind, the fire, the earth. He's all those elements. Now, what we do, we kind of think of God being the niceties, right? Not the fire, right? Unless it's cooking us food, and only the wind, unless it's blowing us down. You're my creator, my sustainer, my redeemer when I pray. Oh yeah, you are my rock. And then we get down. I will learn to trust in you. I will learn to trust in you. Isn't it true? We have to say that over and over. Ah, it doesn't matter how much we learn it, right? It seems like we still have to learn to trust in God, right? Oh, do we have to keep learning it over and over again? Come on, man. Come on, say it ain't so. I got to keep learning how to trust in God, my rock, my rock, my rock. Let's see. I think it is definitely in my second praise song, or you know, second or third, but definitely a praise song here. I think I wanted to praise God with whatever I was writing. This is one of those songs of my many that sat there in the book with just a few lines, and I had the music to the lines. You are my rock, you are my shelter, you're the wind after the rain. I think I came up with you're my creator, you're my sustainer, you're my redeemer when I pray. I think I came up with that later. And then I definitely had the chorus, you know, the chorus chords. And it wasn't until I actually started playing and singing it that because if I can't get to a song to a 3.5 minutes, then I'm just not, I don't think it's a song yet. We got to get to at least 3 minutes, at the least. But 3.5 minutes is your normal song, right? That's when you really know you got something. And then back there in February of 23, I put a bridge on it. So that's when I was, and I timed it, and I was like, yep, this is a song, let's go. It's going to be fun to sing for y'all this song, the 15th song, this coming Sunday. So how did I write the song? I think I just wanted to praise God one day. So I got down on my guitar, just played some basic notes, basic chord structure, and just loved the melody. Ooh, that's why it never went away. Love that melody. And just... be thankful that we have a rock. Do you have a rock in your life? Let me ask you that. Do you have a rock in your life where you can say, gosh, I do have a rock? Is it a human rock? Somebody that you rely on constantly? But as you know, the best rock is the rock of salvation, the rock of our God, our Holy Spirit, our Jesus, the one that, isn't that great that we can rely on Him in times of struggle and need and know that He's there protecting us and maybe putting a spirit of protection on us and maybe giving us what we need, you know, things making us financially good. And now there's actually a good question to be had here. Is some of that just because we keep printing money? I don't know. I've had to wrestle with this, right? I've had to wrestle with this. Would we still act the same way? Would we still act the same way with all this blessing and feeling blessed and being blessed and giving blessings to other people? Would we still act the same way if at the same exact time, not in a different era, but at the same exact time, we were in another country? Let's say we were born in that other country. We can't help that we were born in America. What if we were in another country, but not just any country, maybe like a third world country? Would we still be talking and thinking in the same way? You ever done a little brain experiment? Just to see, how would you act? How would you handle situations? Would you still be feeling blessed? Would you still be giving blessings? And would you still be leaning on that rock the same way if you were in a big heaping teaspoon of trouble? Trouble meaning hunger. Trouble meaning war around you. Trouble meaning maybe, I don't know, losing loved ones in an untimely manner. We got hunger, we got finances, right? Would you still be doing all those same wonderful, bountiful feelings inside your body, right? I don't think we would, right? Unless you were consistent, right? We have to figure out, where is that rock? Where is the consistency? Whereas, if I'm sitting in America and my air conditioning's on and my water works, and I have plumbing, right? And I can push the button and the dishes get washed. Would I still act the same and be the same person? The same joy, the same love, the same giving, and the same rock in another third world country, being in hunger and being in destitute, right? Being cold, maybe without a blanket, maybe in such poor conditions, you know, you might get sick because you're eating bacteria-infested food or something like that. This isn't a plea or anything to start giving money away to missions or anything, but you could. We have to ask questions about the missions too, don't we? Is this mission field, are these people that are missionaries, is this generational? Is this strange, isn't it? Maybe, is this something that's, the father was a missionary to the same place. Now the son is the missionary to the same place. Is this a retirement plan for you? Or are you called to do this? It's just easy money because you guys went door to door, church to church, once upon a time to get on their missions budget. So now you're permanently on the missions budget, and you go see that church maybe once every one year or 2 year or 3 years, and you show them a video of all the things that you're doing back at the mission in another country. Sight unseen, right? Sight unseen. We don't know what you're doing there besides this little video that you put together. What are you doing? What are they doing? I need to start telling so many stories that I think about it, but I got to tell you a story about my good friend, R.A. Sharp. He's passed away, but man, R.A. Sharp. Has anybody ever heard of the name of R.A. Sharp? I don't know what that R.A. stands for. He was a Chattanooga man, Hickson. Went to church together. And me and R.A. Sharp, we hit it off because this guy, he wanted to win souls for Jesus. And he had been in an accident at which he worked at a steel plant here in Chattanooga. And the chain broke. Wasn't his malfeasance or whatever, but the chain broke. The huge chain in this steel plant. It broke and hit him in the back of the head. And he was out. Took him to the hospital. And his spirit raised up above the bed. He remembered his afterlife experience. He died. He died. He actually died. Flatlined. And he remembered going up above the bed there in the hospital. And he remembered it to such a degree that he was explaining to the doctors what was happening to him, what the doctors were saying, and what the doctors were doing while he was dead. Flatline. He explained to the doctors from his view above the bed. And he claimed, I have to set this up to talk about missions, okay? But this is his story, his testimony. But when he came back to and he got well, the doctor came in there and he started explaining exactly how it happened, what the doctors were doing when he died. And the doctor was in disbelief that he knew what had been said and what had happened with the doctors in the room. And of course, his afterlife story was another thing. I don't remember all that. But I just remember how this guy, it didn't matter. It didn't matter any day of the week. He's witnessing, trying to lead people to the Lord, trying to get them to profess Jesus as their Savior, their Lord and Savior, and leading them in the sinner's prayer. You know, I blank take you, Jesus, to be my Savior. You know, repeat after me, those kinds of things. I promise to, you know, these kinds of things, you know, follow you the rest of my life, give my life to you. And he was so soft-spoken that you could barely hear him sometimes. He doesn't realize how soft his voice was. I said, tell him, speak up. I can't hear you. But R.A. told me a story one time about missions. Not beating up on missions. Just, hey, I'm just throwing out a story that just doesn't sit right with me. Won't sit right with you either. But the story was they went down with a group. Now, this is when you go down to a missions trip with R.A. Sharp, you better get ready. Because R.A. Sharp's not there to, have a big party down in the Dominican or whatever. I don't remember where they went. But he said, you know, what they normally do, they split everybody up into different groups. And all the groups go out for the day to the various villages. And they have the little pieces of paper to document anyone that was to get saved. And R.A. Sharp, I'd never forget this story, the specifics of this story, but he said that we went and we had at least 100 souls saved that day. 100 souls is a lot, by the way. I mean, you're on a missions trip, right? And you're going out into the villages and you've got 100 souls saved. And he said he brought those back. He brought those professions of faith back with their names and the information that they needed to do follow-ups, like maybe discipleship follow-ups, of course. And the missionary who was there, the head missionary who was there, right? He was in charge of, you know, the mission. It was a mission there. He said, that's impossible. And he took all of the things that R.A. Sharp had handed him, the 100 sheets of paper, and he threw them in the garbage. right in front of him and said, "That's not possible." Now, I'm sure not all are like that, right? Not all missions are like that. But you start to scratch your head. Now, since then, I have to tell you something about that story that I did not think about when I first heard the story. And let me tell you another story to not necessarily complement the first story, okay? And this has nothing to do with RA. But it might a little, maybe a shadow, right? But I want you to imagine that you live in a city like let's say the Dominican Republic, but I don't know where the mission. I've never been to missionary work down there, but I want you just to imagine you're in a little village where every single weekend, and you're going to start knowing where I'm going with this. Every single weekend, or every third month, or whatever, maybe every month. I want you to imagine you are one of those people, right? And the first mission group comes in. This you've never seen it before, but of course you have. But I'm just saying, let's just pretend that you've never seen this before. The first mission group comes in, and they try to win you to the Lord. I'm just telling you, follow me here, because this is so good. This is so good. And it may have, I'm sure it has, a thread that connects with the Christian Light Church. But I just want you to understand what I'm saying. So you have a mission a bunch of people that want to start a mission in your neck of the woods, right? And the Dominican or something like that. We'll just use Dominican as a great example. And you say, sure, you guys can come. Oh, you guys are bringing food? Oh, bringing food, huh? Oh, we like food. We need food. Okay. Oh, you're going to bring food. Okay. You're going to bring money and resources? Oh, okay. Oh, you want me to get saved? Now, obviously, they don't even speak English, right? So, they want me to get saved. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, the first time around, maybe you don't get saved, right? You're just like, oh, this is kind of hokey. Maybe you don't get saved the first time. The second time, second group comes around 4 months later, or a month later. And you think, oh man, the last time Shirley over here, Shirley got saved. Shirley got saved. And when she got saved, man, they doted on her. They gave her the VIP treatment after she was saved. I want to get some of that. I want to get some of that, dopamine treatment. Okay. And so then you decide to get saved. Oh, I'm going to get saved. Now you get dopamine on. But now you start to see there's a difference with the help and the continuation of the missionaries, or they're not missionaries, they're just volunteers, right? Now you got this thing going. You're like, wait a second. I'm going to try to get saved next week too. See what happens. A whole new group, right? It's not the same group. It's a whole new group of quote unquote volunteer missionaries. And they're not really missionaries. They're just people like, the laymen in the church who are trying to go on a missions trip to Guatemala and, the Dominican, trying to help people in need. But see, this is what's happening. I'm fact positive. Okay. I'm in fact positive. So they start to realize real quick, the resources continue to get bigger and bigger when every single week that you just say, I'm going to get saved again. I'm going to get saved again. Oh yeah, this is the thing we're going to do now. And so now it's not even a thought process. It's like, yeah, I'm going to let these people lead me to the Lord, because they have no idea that I've already done this 500 times prior, right? And if you don't think that's happening, well, you need to wake up. You need to wake up and stop lying to yourself. I mean, stop pretending. Start asking questions. If you haven't started lying to yourself, well, then it's because you are not asking questions. It's time to start asking questions, right? And start scratching your head and going, what's going on here? Right? What's going on here? Am I getting used? I mean, I took my vacation. You know, I got a week or two off of work to come down here. I don't speak the language. I don't know what they're saying. But my gosh, our church group, we saved X amount of people. We got them to profession of faith is what they call getting saved. It's called a profession of faith. I professed my faith in Jesus Christ, right? Just a thought. So then that story, that thought, that absorption of the truth, that was what's clearly going on down in these places. Not all, but most. And then it really made me realize just how gullible our Christians are, you know, folks here in our America, trying to go down to help people out down there. And really just kind of not helping at all. Besides, just send the money. You're wasting your personal time, okay? Just send the money. We'll make sure these people are fed. But that connected with RAs, then it kind of made me go, you know what? I can see why that guy was so upset with RA. Because the people, they're just going to say, yes, we profess. RA didn't speak their language. He had a translator. But of course, they're just all going to say. So I think that this guy, into more thought of it all, this Christian guy, who is the missionary down there, the permanent guy, I think he knew what was going on. So he didn't have to throw him in the trash like that. But I do see what it could have been going on, and he just knows that's what they do. They just agree. They agree with the foreigners, the Americans who want to come in and help. They just go, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved now. Yeah, I'm saved. What does that have to do with anything? Well, I guess I brought up missionaries for a reason, but how do we do this, right? How do we know what we're called to do? Is that what we're called to do when we can't even speak the language? We're going to go down, have a good time in Guatemala and the other place, Dominican. Is that really what we're called to do? To join in and think that we're doing something special for someone in another country when we've got our own America here that needs us? People that are homeless, people that might be hungry here in America. I think you guys know the answer to that. It's really a basic question. But really, some of these people, they're, you know, here in America, you could just go to a certain city, different cities, and just get drugs straight from the government. That's right. And so how can we help people like that, right? When they're being subsidized by our very own government, who's supposed to stop drugs, right? So we're in a situation here where, from the top down, the country has lost its way. And how has it lost its way? And then we hate to say it, here we go again. We're climbing our way back to understanding the 501c3 church. How does that have to do with the person that's addicted to drugs, that's getting free drugs from the government? Well, our churches, if you're a 501c3, that means you can't be taxed. It's non-taxable. We are not allowed, and I say we, I'm not, you know, I'm just saying those churches, the 501c3 churches, are not allowed to talk about two things. They're not allowed to talk about legislation to their congregation. Now, what does legislation do, right? Legislation would set up morality and rules for the society we live in. Why in the world would the church not be allowed to do that? That's called a deal with the devil, in case you need, you know, an explanation. It's a deal with the devil. So that's what we've done. End of story. There really is no argument to be made about why you're a 501c3 church. It's a deal with the devil. There is no other way around it. So that's just part one. And we already know it's a deal with the devil. So let's talk about part two. Now, part two means or says that this is easily find. You can easily find this on the internet. It took me maybe 5 minutes to find the doc. It's a .gov doc. Okay. And find out that we also cannot talk about election officials that are running in the, behind the pulpit. You can't talk about that. Now, let's get this straight here on the second point, Mark. You're telling me that my pastor cannot talk about who I should be voting for in the pulpit. The person with the best morality? He can't say that. He can insinuate an innuendo, but he can't name names. What in the world is going on? So just that point alone, notwithstanding the first point, we're already in the deal with the devil for two lines there. But anything but pay taxes. Anything but pay taxes. Because if I had to start paying a third of, let's just say it became a third, 33% of your tithes and offerings had to go to the government. Oh, I don't want to do that, Mark. We would lose too much, and plus we'd have to hire an accountant. You see, we're in real deep, okay, folks. We're in real deep. We got problems, and if I can recall it in my brain, this thing that I'm listening to and following, it's called the Religion Business. They're doing great work, and I can't wait to see it. The 7-part miniseries are coming out this fall of this year, and they are putting out little mini facts. One of the facts I tried to memorize it. Let's see if I can regurgitate it here. So. I can't think of it right now because I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it too hard. But we've got to figure out how we're going to go to church, right? I mentioned on Monday that we're in a catch-22. We have to go to church, right, Mark? We have to. Come on, man. You're telling me not to go. I get it, Mark. What you're telling me is true. I'll admit it. You have hit me with some facts. Okay. Yes, we are a 501c3 church. Yes. Yes. Okay. I got you. When you've hit me with some facts. And yeah, you're telling me that my church won't reform, but you really haven't sold me on why they need to reform. Well, Christian light, meaning that when has the church ever told you to stop doing the sin that you're doing? Like, for reals, told you. Not like, you know, it's kind of there. Oh, it's kind of there. Like, we're going to hold you responsible for the sin that you're doing, and we're not going to let you do it because we care and love for you. I mean, if anybody should not have a plank in their eye, right? Can we just talk about this for a second? Can we just have a dialogue? If anyone should not have a plank in their eye, which, by the way, it is possible. Bible talks about getting them out, and that's where we stop as Christians. You're not supposed to judge because you have a plank in your eye. But friend, what happens when those planks are gone? It's not judging anymore. It's called discipleship. And you would do that in love, not in a public format. You do it to the group in a public format. You do it individually in a private format. So who's keeping you accountable? And who would be the person? Let's be fair on that. Who would be the person? It would be your pastor. The pastor would be the number one example. Your shepherd would be the number one example to have the plank out of his eye and the specks out of his eye, or her. I say her because I guess there's some teachers, women. And let's be real fair too with that. Maybe it could be the pastor's wife, but let's be real fair too with that. It's a lot different hearing the specifics, female to female and male to male. I mean, that's for reals. That couldn't be any more true. So that's true. That's that. So where is that? Where is that? Where the pastor is saying, I'd like to have a one-on-one with you, Mark. I want to have a one-on-one with you. We're going to do an inventory of your life. And this is going to be between me and you. Oh, is that off limits, Mark? Ooh, is that off limits? No, you can't do that. Wait a second. You want to have a one-on-one with me about my sin? I love going to church here, but do you see, no one wants to do that as a pastor because you will lose clients. I will call them clients. and no one wants to lose clients. I mean, I'm literally right now, if there was a wound, right? If there was a wound, I'm pushing my finger into the wound right now. Because no one wants to talk, no one wants to put their finger in and just spin it around and go in and out and say, how does that feel? No one wants to do that. But is it necessary for purity and reformation and changing the way, changing someone's evil ways, or is it evil ways, or horrid ways, ways that they should not be walking in? Of course it is. This is what I'm trying to say, is if, listen, when money is involved, everybody knows this. When money is involved, you have no reason on the planet Earth to change your ways when you're going to lose money by bringing something up. That's why maybe money needs to be completely out of the picture. Because when there's, when there's no money involved whatsoever, let's say that the pastor has no worry, the pastor, right? The pastor of a church. Let's say he was completely volunteer and it was 100%. He wasn't making a dime. He wasn't waiting on a paycheck. He wasn't waiting on getting the bag at the end of the day. And that person came to you, has nothing to lose. But see, when you've got something to lose as a pastor, of course you wouldn't push anyone to their personal boundaries and ask them about their sin. Of course you wouldn't. Do you see the problem? Does anyone out there, hello, knock, knock, knock. Does anybody out there see the problem that we're in? No one's willing to do the dirty work. You ever seen that show, Dirty Work? I haven't, but I've seen clips, and it's really dirty work. It's completely nasty, but has to be done by somebody. It's not automated yet. It's gross, dirty work, right? Who's going to do the dirty work and roll up their sleeves and cut out this Christian light where everybody is dopamine to the hilt? Everybody is happy. Everybody is happy. Everybody is happy. Let's give them light Christianity. Let's talk generically about sin. And now you know how we got in this situation in America. Now you know. Now you know the rest of the story. You're here. You have arrived to the truth. It's not, I try to make the show easy. This is not difficult to understand and connect the dots. By the way, the dots are all there. The things that I'm mentioning in this show tonight, I talked about missions, right? Part of the problem. The dots are all there. All you have to do is connect them. And go, this doesn't make sense. Is missionary thing now a nepotism thing? Because the last I checked, that's when you are called, right? I mean, you're called. Aren't you called? Specifically called to do great things? Aren't you supposed to be called? Who knows? It could happen. It could happen. Father, Son. Could happen. I mean, it happens a lot. Son taking over the pastorship of the church. At least around here, I've seen it a couple times. I've definitely seen it. Well, then we know national too. It happened with Stanley. I don't know. Is that the way we're rolling now? It's a lot of money in it, so you couldn't help yourself. But I would really love it if somebody told me. I'm sure that there's lots of these going on, but I'm assuming there's lots of little, small, podunk, little churches here in the South. I'm sure there are. Where, yeah, no one's getting paid because we take all the money and we use it to pay the whatever it is, the electricity. And everybody's on a volunteer. I mean, that's the church I want to go to. Everybody's on a volunteer thing. But that's, again, we're still, even those churches, where's the revival? Where is the discipleship where you're getting challenged by someone? I just keep having to say this, but this is part of my heart, right? I want to fix America. But explaining to you that this presidential nominee is good and this presidential nominee is bad all day long won't matter anything. None of that matters. None of it matters. At the end of the day, has it changed who you are as a person? I'm probably like one of the only, besides, I don't know, maybe besides some of these Christian, sure, some of these Christian channels that are getting paid. That just so happen to have a podcast, because that's part of, it's easy to have a podcast when you're getting paid, right? And you don't have to, you can just say, hey, I'm already talking. I'm already preaching every Sunday. Let's just put it on a podcast. Sure, they're doing that. But, I'm sure that there are lots of little churches, but I just want to see who's doing the discipleship that needs to be done. So, seriously, anybody that knows anything about it, I'd like to go visit the church. I'll drive miles for it. I'll drive wherever it takes me here in America. I want to see it with my own eyes. I would like to see a church, a singular church, doing discipleship. You could do it. You could have your flavor of discipleship even. I want to see it in practice, because I don't see anything. The main thing we're supposed to be doing after getting saved, I've never seen it. I want to repeat that. I've never seen it. I've never seen the mechanism of discipleship working. I just keep hearing milk every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. All I've ever heard is more milk, not the meat of the message, which is the depths of discipleship, where people are truly, not pretend, people are truly becoming pure in all areas of their lives. And how do you do that? You have to go under the hood. And someone has to go under the hood in private again and really say, this is wrong. I mean, let's just point, like, the example I used on Monday was Hell's Box Office. Is it right or is it wrong? Just that we start there. Check the box. Is it right or is it wrong? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I understand maybe we would get to a checkbox that could be a little gray area. But even if it's gray, it's probably wrong. Is it right or is it wrong for you to be putting this in your mind and in your ears and in your eyes? Go down the list. I know the answer to that one. So that's an easy one. I just started with an easy one. Got a great acronym there. Just an example of a little bit of a discipleship that would start things flowing in the right direction. I think everything in life, not everything, because some things you shouldn't be doing at all, but everything in life, and this is a generic everything, everything in life is balance. Have you ever heard that? Balance. They tell me that, you know, I've learned that, right? So not too much alcohol, right? I don't drink, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. I mean, it's clearly right there in the scriptures. Balance. Not too many carbs. Not too much protein, maybe. And some people, that's what their diet insists upon, like Jordan Peterson. Not too much fats. Right? You can't eat all fats. Can't eat all something, right? You got to have something. You have to have a mixture of something. But, you know, this is not nutrition advice, okay? That's just an example of balance. So where's the balance? Right? We got a balance in our lives, in our church, in the way that we handle ourselves and according to scripture. Again, what is the job of this show? I just want you to try it. Juxtapose your life with the scriptures. That's all I've been saying here for the last whatever, 40 minutes. Juxtapose your life with the scriptures that you so strongly believe in. I mean, you're the one saying you believe in it. You're right. Am I right? Right. You're the one. You're the one. Say, oh, with or without this church. And I, you know, let's just say you're a person, and you left the church, and you've just had it with the church. But you believe, but you just can't take any more of this fallacy of what men have created here. I'm with you 100. Okay. But either way, whether you're in church or whether you're that person, you still believe in the scriptures. I mean, do you kind of sort of believe in the scriptures? And if the answer is no, of course, I believe in the scriptures. I believe, Mark, then what are you waiting for? Stop. Seriously, stop playing around and start juxtaposing your life. Don't even use, I'm just a person talking here, but I want to get something started. I want to get a snowball started. How hard would it be for you to study a few scriptures in the Bible about what a man's supposed to do, what a woman's supposed to do, what a grandparent and an elder in the church is supposed to do, what a grandfather, whatever, father, mother, right? What a child, how a child is supposed to behave. How hard would it be for you to study and look up verses in those regards and follow those verses to the T? How hard is that? You don't need a pastor for that. I'm not saying you don't need to go to church. I'm just saying you have a Bible. Stop. It's collecting enough dust. What? Just. And by the way, we've got a phone now. Who has the Bible's right there on it. You could find the verses and create a scenario to where you are living to God's perfection. He's trying to make you a perfect being. Here on earth, yes, that's right. Well, I just can't do perfect, and God takes me for what I am. Yes, he accepted you for what you are, but you're supposed to make a U-turn after that moment. He accepted you for who you were at that moment, yes, and he forgave you of your sins. That's, you'd realize that's a moment in time. The very next moment in time, you are expected to do something by our Father. And it's called complete turnaround of the way that you were going. In every way that you were going that was not good. It's called a U-turn. Repenting of your sin. That's repentance. Full and total repentance. So don't tell me he takes you the way you are when you haven't, if you haven't changed the way you were. Praise God. I like it. I always laugh when I say something that actually makes a lot of sense, right? I always get a little chuckle. Can't help it. Like, hey, put that on a reel. Make that go viral for 15 seconds. All right, folks. As you know, I love talking about this stuff because it's so easy, yet it's so hard. Oh, it's so hard, right? It is hard because we're set in our crazy, goofy American ways. Oh, boy. So let's take a look at those lyrics one more time. My Rock. On Friday, I will be talking about the Bible verses that pertain to this beautiful song. I will be talking about the Bible verses that connect with this song. So please do not miss that. And I will be so glad that you have joined me on Friday for that. All right. All right. So now it is time for a song concert. Let's flip it back. Let's find out where we're at. Actually, I know exactly where we're at. We're on number 11. Oh, yeah. Number 11. Come on. Here we go. Good. Palm of your hand. Let me set this up. And let's have a grand time today with a song concert. Ooh, I get to do palm of your hand. That's right. Here we go, friends. Palm of your hand. Get this right. There we go. Maybe. Ask and it will be given. Seek and
you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Don't you know he's waiting to hear from you? Hold me in the palm of your hand when I am weak. There you are strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see what. Do you have to give? Have you any faith? That his words will not return void. And don't you know he's waiting, so patiently waiting for you. Hold me in the palm of your hand when I am weak. There you are strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Just like sheep in the fold, don't know which way to go. Ooh, to be complete, yet so unique. He just wants to hear you say, hold me in the palm of your hand when I am weak. There you are strong, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Hold me in the palm of your hand when I am weak. There you are strong, so, so strong. Hold me in the palm of your hand, changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see. Changing me for the world to see. Change me. Change me. Make me better. Just a little bit. Each day. Make me a little bit better each day. Work on me, Lord. Work on me. Tear down these crazy walls I have in my mind. Sinner's prayer. Pray this with me.
get it. I am lost as lost could be, in need of a Savior. So please forgive me, 'cause I am a sinner. Oh Lord, let him dwell there. Slow down. Slow down. Was that for me? I need to slow down. Oh, I probably do need to slow down. It probably would do me some good. Slow it down. Are you going too fast out there tonight? I lost it again. That happens. Okay. Slow down. Slow down. Going too fast. This actually will help you get out of the fast lane and start meditating more. If you will take a little advice to slow down. For someone who runs in every direction, you sure seem sure of yourself. Kinda like a cannonball, just a very arranged mess, and that's a fact. You kinda remind me of me, and the funny thing is that's how I used to be. If we could slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down. Here's a toast from yours truly. You've done everything in the world. Just about a half a mile turn right, and you have arrived. You kinda remind me of me before I felt my knees where I need to be. If we could slow down, slow down. If we could slow down, slow down, slow down. Walking in the wrong direction, you're not alone. The gate is wide for this deception. Follow along. Your neighbor's fault won't be protection from right and wrong. Slow down. There's a box blaring nothing, and a book in the corner, a thought for the family a long time ago. There's a moment you missed just a second ago. It was yours to have with you, and you're not giving nothing when the well is empty and you're not thirsty. You're missing is there in the dead of silence. Put your hand to your chest and feel the beat. You have been made complete, and every breath to breathe for you, for me, is a gift to pray, a name to praise, a seed to preach. Slow down. We could slow down. The Lord's Prayer. I gotta play some good ones tonight. Okay, let's see. Make sure we're right. 1, 2, 3, 4. So Lord's Prayer is number 4 tonight. We've got one more to go after that. We're on number 4. See if I can sing this one tonight.
Father, which art in heaven. Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, your kingdom come. Father, your will be done. I am on my knees, praises unto thee, and with humility I worship you, my King. Father, on earth and heaven, Father, give us our daily bread. Father, forgive our debts. And Father, oh Father, help me forgive. I am on my knees, glory unto thee, and with humility I worship you, my King. Father, Father, lead me not to temptation. And Father, oh Father, deliver me. I am on my knees, power unto thee, and with humility I worship you, my King. Father, 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 I am on my knees, forever I will see your kingdom that will be, to worship you, my King.
Praise God. Your perfect will. Let's get this one going. Number 5 tonight. For so long I have been bound inside myself, closing the doors, hope
Could I be the one? Could I be the one you're calling, Lord? Deep inside your arms, when all I have is faith, will it be enough to carry me through to your perfect will for so long? I haven't found my freedom, Lord, holding the rails, praying that I won't fall. But Lord, could I be the one? Could I be the one you're calling, Lord? Deep inside your arms, and all I have is faith, will it be enough to carry me through to your perfect will? Your perfect will in my life, Lord. I hear you calling my name. Your perfect will in my life, Lord. Is that you calling my name? For so long, I have been waiting for someone. Other than me, to take the lead while the work is done. Could I be the one? Could I be the one you're calling, Lord? Deep inside your arms, all I have is faith. Will it be enough? Will it be enough to do your perfect will? Could I be the one? Could I be the one? Surely it's not me, Lord. Surely all I have is faith. Carry me through. Can I be the one? Can I be the one you're calling, Lord? Deep inside your arms, with a little bit of faith, I pray that you will carry me through to your perfect will.
Boom. 5 songs. Hope you enjoyed that. Now, we're going to go over some outro. Don't go anywhere. Thank you all for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. Oh, what a joy this is for me and to share my life in song with you. Want to learn more about the show? Check out the description or visit my website, mwdhq.com. Download free demos of each song of the week and email me from the Connect page. You do know you could also check me out on different channels. What's your favorite channel? Let's see. Facebook, Instagram. Check. We also have YouTube. What? Subscribe to me on YouTube. Get notifications. Yeah, that's your favorite app. Let's do that. Or is it Rumble? Is that your favorite app? You can get notifications from Rumble. And then we got Twitter. I think you can get notifications from Twitter. I've double checked on that one. But we're all over the place. And podcast. Every podcast in the world, Mark? Yes, every podcast in the world. Go follow me, and then you would get notifications as well. I believe you can do that. Figure that stuff out. Some of that's technology. It's coming around, okay? Very good. All right, so here we are. We're trying to help you with me being the lead donator. Mark over here, the lead donator, with free songs, free downloads, free PNG downloads for the words that I'm singing there, so you can understand what I'm saying. You know, subscribe, like I said, join me as I prep you for your church. That's right. And explore the significant meanings of salvation and discipleship. I think I'm also exploring the significant meanings of the significant truth of how your church might not be doing that. Ooh, I'm exploring it. Talk to me. Become a Christian. Begin to walk the talk. You know, I couldn't go 1 week without saying that, right? That's right. Walka the talka. Strengthen your walk with God. Get inspired by what I'm saying. Pass it on as you challenge your friends and family with your words and actions. Become a better husband, wife, son, daughter, father, mother, granddad, grandmother, neighbor, friend, leader, and follower. I got two questions for you tonight. You know what they are. What is the thing that God's called you to do? We all want to know. Come on, stop playing. You know he could call you to do more than one thing, right? Come on, big picture. What's he called you to do? You know, when you think about your life, we do everything, but we plan for God, right? So you plan a retirement. You get the 501. What is it? Not 501. I said that wrong. 401k. There we go. Get the 401k. You plan everything out. You got all these things planned out, but then you forgot something. You forgot what God's called you to do. I'm not talking about the one thing with getting those kids out of the house like I did. So I'm the one that can talk here. It's time to get busy. Roll up those sleeves. You ain't retired. Not from God. Praise God. And, okay, pass it on. I already said that. Hey, two questions. First things, what's God's called you to do? Now, he's called you to do stuff in your life. You know, that shouldn't be a secret. Why is that a secret? You should be screaming that to the top of your lungs because you're so excited that he's called you for something big, right? And it may not be big to everyone else's eyes, but it's big to you. It's important to you, right? Maybe. Definitely important to God. Number two, have you passed it forward by challenging and encouraging someone today? You know, God uses you and your little voice because it can be a big voice for somebody who needs to hear your voice. Stop being Mr. or Mrs. Quiet Mouth. It's time to clear your throat. I'm talking to you. It's time to clear your throat and start proclaiming God's word to your friends and family. Stop being Miss Modest Mouse, Mr. Modest Mouse. Stop it. Get a hold of yourself. All right. On Monday's show, I offered statements you could share with someone. Today, I offer questions to ask yourself which of the following questions are relevant to helping you move forward. Here we go, friends. Do I truly believe in myself? Truly. Do I truly want to better my life? Do I pray for myself? Was I the one that was wrong? Am I actually truly sorry? And would I make amends with joy and humility? Have I forgiven myself? Truly. Am I truly thankful to God for what he has done for me? What he has done for me? Think about the talents that you have. You don't think he did that for you in your mother's womb? Think about the talents you have. I know some of them are earned. Some of them we work, we have to study. But even the impetus to go and do that, God gave you that impetus. Ooh, is there someone I need to show love to today, tomorrow, next week? Let's go. Why do I question God's love for me? Okay, here we go. Why have I not acted on God's plan for me? God's plan for me. Gotta act on it. What purpose does God have for me today? What purpose does God have for me today? Ooh, I repeated that, didn't I? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining my church prep family. I'll see you again live. I'll be live right here Friday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern for Song of the Week. And it's Bible connections to my rock. Ooh, my rock. So you got to be here with me. Get those notifications. Here we go. Live on Friday. Hope to see you then. To God be the glory.
All I could do.